The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Mind Pump Radio with Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
The one and only!
You know, hey, you guys don't know this, but I do. You guys don't know this. Doug, on the weekends, do you know what he does on the weekends for fun?
Watches WWF.
No, he's like a comedy guy, right?
He does improv.
No, yeah. You don't?
I saw little bits of clips of that.
Do you, San Jose Improv?
Comedy sports.
He's on a fucking team, dude.
That's awesome.
There's teams in comedy.
Putting yourself out there.
That's why he can turn on the radio.
Wait a second. So I had a whole topic I want to talk about, but now I'm totally intrigued by this right now. So when I worked downtown, I actually was right across the street from the comedy club, so I knew the owner really well, and I literally went to the comedy club like three times a week. To the point where I was like, I love comedy.
Yeah, the improv. Oh, yeah. I love that place.
And I was almost sick of it because I did it for like 2 years, like three times a week. It was ridiculous. But I absolutely loved it, right? So I've never, as much as I've been around it, I've never heard of team comedy.
No, it's called comedy sports.
Comedy sports.
Yeah, there's like over 20 of them around the world.
So is there like tryouts?
Absolutely.
No, he's a badass, Adam. He's not, this isn't just like in someone's garage. Like, he had to make the team.
Okay, well, I'm intrigued here. There's tryouts. So what is this whole process of getting a part of the team? So let's pretend the four of us, I want to be a part of Team Doug in comedy. And I mean, I'm a lot funnier than Sal and Justin, so I know I probably would have a hard time making a team. But think of the challenges.
You got us there, dude. You're the guy.
Funny looking,
you
know, right?
Funny.
Funny looking.
He's so funny. One look will crack you.
That's right. Right? Funny, yeah. Funny looking is right.
So you won't have sex with him.
So, like, Doug.
Yes.
Whatever.
Okay. Is it like sports, too? Did you have to train for a long time to get on this team?
Well, it's not physical, per se.
Well, I know, but did comedy train? Like, you had to...
Yeah, I did.
So, like, whose line is it anyway?
Yeah, a lot like that. So what happened is I went through a series of workshops, and then I joined what they called the Rec League, which is our farm team. And I was there for probably 3 years before they called me up to the regular
the
show.
Big, to the majors. Big league, yeah. The majors.
Wow!
That's kind of so.
Now he's batting clean.
You actually went to school to get funny.
Oh yeah, I've been trained, man. I'm a professional.
Wow! Imagine if we harness my skills. I'm just all natural.
Oh, God.
Here's a thing. I believe all of you guys could do well at it.
Oh really?
Absolutely.
Even Sal.
Oh. Improv?
Even nerdy Sal?
Oh, even what? Nerdy Sal. Bro, would do great.
You're talking about shooting from the hip? I invented that.
You know, honestly.
Before I was born, they had a different name for it.
Yeah, you shoot from the hip.
I know. Sexual innuendos. Kind of always sexual innuendos. We're trying to talk serious here, and you've got to bring it sexual.
That's what I mean when I say shooting from the hip. I didn't say shooting from the tip. That's something different.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, bringing your nerdy side is a real benefit. For example, Justin and his Star Wars knowledge would go far.
Yes.
See? That's right.
So here's why it's
Greedo
called
a shot first.
Here's why it's called a sport.
Just
because
kidding.
What it is.
Han did.
Two teams that compete.
Okay.
For the last of the audience. And then the audience votes on, you know, which one they like better. So,
I want to go watch one of Doug's shows.
I know.
Yeah,
we should come do watch that. Me. That'd be cool.
I can't believe we do that. Dude, which one of you motherfuckers taps this freaking coffee table?
That was me that time. Why does it irritate you so bad?
Because it vibrates and I can hear it too, both of it. And I know Doug gets upset, dude.
Oh, yeah.
And he blames me for all the shenanigans. That's why he doesn't plug my microphone in until last. I get the last of the microphone.
Man, I got to stretch my legs out.
He keeps my volume lower than everybody else.
Okay.
You're so difficult to figure out, Adam. 9 out of 10 times, vibrations are awesome. This time you don't like it.
No, dude.
Well, right now you're hearing a buzz and it's driving me crazy. It's my microphone.
Okay, so you better shut it down. You're gonna have to do sign language the rest of the way here.
Yeah, sign language from now on out.
The rest of the questions I would ask you, go ahead and sign us.
Well, what we did, Adam, the the thing we wanted to talk about. And you're such a mysterious motherfucker. This guy's so mysterious. The text he sends us. Hey guys, I have a crazy ass rant and you want to hear it? Yes. Nothing. Silence. Doesn't say anything.
I know. He does that. He drops like a bomb and then like it, like all this anticipation and then he just...
You know what?
You know what? I'm not going to do
it. Like, guys, this is so crazy. Guess what? And we'll be like, what? Nothing. Yeah, nothing. And I'll be like, Adam, what
not
happened?
Not even the dots, like he's writing it.
Yeah, nothing.
It's just...
So, Adam...
The master of anticipation.
So, I'm putting you on the spot right now. I want you to... Like, what made you so angry?
What grinds your gears?
Yeah, why? What are you going to rant about?
Well, here's... This has happened at least 10 times since we've had Mind Pump going. And this is something that... And I know you guys can relate to this. between the three of us, shit, personally myself... I have well over 10,000 hours of training. If I were to break down how many hours of training of training clients, so that's a lot of hours of training, minimum of that. And I know you guys are right there with me, if not more. So, you know, between the three of us, we've got 30,000 hours of training clients, which what equates to that is a lot of people, that a lot of lives that we've touched and helped out. And I like to try and help everybody as much as I can and continue helping people for as long as I can. Hence what we're doing right now. We all came together for that same similar reason. It's like, dude, if we could get on like a radio show where we can broadcast this, we could answer so many of these same fucking questions that we get asked all the time. And what drives me crazy, and it really bothers me when it's people who have known me for a really long time, people that have been a part of my journey for a long time. I've been training since I was 20 years old, and some people I've still talked to and clients I still help. And then they ask me these questions, and the first thing that comes to mind right away is like, these motherfuckers don't even listen to Mind Pump.
Yeah.
You are asking me these questions. I created this radio show for you, and you don't listen to it, and you don't, and it drives me nuts. And it's so hard now that we have this. So it used to bother me already because it's like, dude, how many times have I explained this to you? I've explained this to you. I've explained this to you. I've explained this to you. I'll explain it for the 10th time. It's okay. It's what I do. I love what I do.
Yeah.
But now that this is created, it's like we give it away for free. You know, no, you can listen to this shit for free. That's pretty cool. I mean, you get a wealth of knowledge between, and you know,
it's pretty undervalued. Let's be honest. Like when people get free stuff, a lot of times they don't really realize until they got to start paying for it. Like what it really is,
exactly,
you know,
right?
Content wise,
that's the insult. That's the part that just it drives me crazy. It's, you know, if you had any idea how much time that we put into all of this stuff to make it better for everybody else. It was even like that one person. I remember when we first started, the very first time when we actually launched the ebooks out and we sold them, right? Mm-hmm. And somebody was like offended that we were selling them. Like, you know, it's like, motherfucker, you think all this stuff is free? And it, like, we have all the time in the world just sitting bullshit on the radio. So I was like, we have to at least make some money so we can fund what the fuck we're doing. Say like,
pay some bills.
We're not trying to rip anybody off right here. In fact, we're trying to give as much great information, help as many people as we possibly can. And, you know, when people do that to me, it's so disrespectful and I get so irritated. And I feel like I get more now that we have this because it's like, there's so much good information. Information on here if you just were to, and it was a client that was asking, and I can do this because I'm pretty sure even after I told her, sent the freaking the links over to listen to it, still is probably not the, it's so funny because we just had a Q&A, the last Q&A, we just answered a question about a young boy who was trying to put weight on.
Oh yeah,
she has a young 18 year old boy who's trying to gain weight, and the message I got was, could you give my son a diet for, you know, gaining weight? Now mind you, God,
that's like nails on a chalkboard for me anyway,
right?
Give me a diet,
right?
You know, no.
Yes, I'm like, and you know what, and that just that question alone,
I'll guide you that.
Asking me that question alone just tells me right away that you haven't been listening to Mind Pump, or he hasn't been listening to Mind Pump, you know. And then when I proceeded to say, you know, to get him to get onto Mind Pump, the response was, oh, you obviously haven't hung out with any teenage boys before. They need instant gratification. I'm like, and then you what the fuck do you think podcasting is? It couldn't get any more instant than that. Like, he literally has to push a button on his iPhone. It automatically downloads.
Dude,
his phone.
All that time, you got to sit and listen.
Yeah,
but obviously she hasn't listened to the show because this is like the ideal show for a teenage boy.
Right,
to listen.
I know,
like,
exactly.
It's, come on.
Yeah,
come on now.
Well, that's why the entertainment side of what we're doing as well is supposed to entice, you know, people to sit and listen to it, and then they get like valuable information. It's like we've thought of all of that.
That's just listen to it. So which that was the next thing that she follows up with. Well, all you know, that's not really his thing, just to sit and listen to it. But he barely pays attention to me. He's not going to sit for a half hour, hour of his attention to listen to, you know, the science of.
So what does she want you to do? Like make an origami like answer and like mail it? I mean, what are you supposed to do?
Well, like every other client wants with it, they want you to sit down, spend 45. What they don't know is it takes at least 45 minutes to an hour for me to write up or draw something up for them like that, and then explain to them how, hey, this is.
But she just told you he doesn't pay attention and he doesn't listen to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants you to. She wants you to write up a freaking, you know, a guide
that will sit there, collect and dust, and never
here,
be used.
Read this packet of information, son.
And this is the disrespectful part, because then it's all that what they're really doing is they're like, I don't want to deal with this. I don't have the answers. Let me delegate it to somebody who I know. And I know him. I know he knows the answers. So let me just dish it off on him. And which is fine. That's why I don't mind the first initial question. And then when I respond, go here, and then you still give me pushback, I'm like, you know what that makes me want to do? It makes me want to Google real quick how to gain 10 pounds. And the first thing that pops up, cut and paste, and then freaking send it over here.
No, you know,
probably exactly what she's looking for anyway.
Right. You know what gets them? It really irritates me is when you've been saying something to somebody for, I don't know, years, because we've all trained clients for a long time, and you've got those clients who've been with you for a long time. And you'll say something over and over and over and over and over. And then they'll finally do it. Yeah, and they'll come back and be like,
credit somebody else or something.
No. They'll come back and be like, wow, that did work. And it's like, you motherfucker. I've been telling you for like 5 years.
I know.
Hey, you know what, Sal? I stopped running 50 miles a week. And you're right. I built more muscle and I got a little leaner. You know, and it's like, I wasn't telling you magic. Like, that's just how it works.
That's almost as annoying as telling a client that, like, when you're trying to help them with nutrition, and they, no. I know. I eat good already. I eat clean. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That's
no,
why
you don't.
That's why you're 30 pounds overweight.
Yeah, right. No. I know what I'm doing. I'm eating good.
I had a client one time, one of my...
Like salads, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. I had a client, really good friend of mine, and he used to always be like, I don't know why I can't lose weight. I eat really healthy and this and that. And so I'd say, okay, well, what did you eat? You know, give me an idea of what you had for breakfast this morning. Like, what did you eat? And he goes, I had some eggs. I had a little bit of milk. He goes, a little bit of flour. And he's going through all these ingredients. And I'm like,
these are pancakes.
And I'm like, no.
Wait, like, this sounds like pancakes.
Yeah, I'm like, did you eat cake? He's like, yeah, I had some chocolate cake. I'm like, why you got to break it down to make it sound healthier?
Yeah, right, dude.
That is awesome. I've never had somebody do that. I would die laughing.
Or the flip side is I'll be like, so, you know, I don't know why I can't lose weight. He goes, yesterday, let me tell you what I ate yesterday. And of course, he's going to pick out the freaking healthy shit.
Yeah, right.
I had a salad with a little bit of carrots and some tomato. That's all I had all day long. I'm like, oh, so you eat like that every day? Well, shit, you're defying the laws of physics. We got to figure this out. Send you some scientists.
That's such a good one right there. That is so common. This is also why, okay, so now when somebody, and I actually had a guy do this just recently, which is funny that we're talking about this. I've told you guys this before. When somebody asks me something like that, I immediately, like help for nutrition or something, I immediately put it back on them and say, okay, I'll totally help you out. But what you need to do for me is for the next 7 days, you need to document every single thing you eat. And first of all, very few people will even do that.
It's too much work for
them. Yeah, it's too much work. Yep. And yet they want you to write this whole detailed plan and help them all out, which is like, more detailed than just you.
I want a pill.
Yeah. So that's the first and foremost is just doing that to someone. But then you have to remind them that, listen, what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to pick out your best day and then duplicate that for me. Because I've had that before. Like, damn, this person eats really clean.
Yeah. Like, no, how is this possible?
How did that happen?
Yeah. Well, I didn't get a chance to write down Friday and Sunday because I was doing this, I was doing that, and I kind of ate this. But I made good choices. I'm
like, oh, I forgot about my Ben and Jerry's.
You know what's funny? When you first become a trainer, and this is, I guarantee you the trainers listening to this can totally, this makes sense to them. When you first become a trainer, for a split second, you're almost convinced. You're almost like, God, some people, it's so weird. Like, they must have this, like, their metabolism must be so slow.
Must be a thyroid thing.
But then as you continue doing this, you start to realize they're bullshitting me. Yeah. Or they're so ignorant and unaware of what's going on in their mouth that they have no idea.
They've never tracked anything ever.
And now that you're so experienced, when people say stuff to you, you look at them like, you can't fool me.
Yep.
Yeah, more often than not, it is that they don't know that they don't know. which that's always been the biggest challenge as a trainer, is making somebody aware.
Unconscious incompetence.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Because nutrition, it seems so universal and common knowledge, but people really don't understand it on a deep level.
Well, and so this kind of ties into part of the tip that I was talking about today at OTF. And when I was talking to the class, I'm telling these guys, like, I always give them like this little random tip afterwards, right? And, you know, a lot of people, they equate, like, so because they come to this workout and it's super intense, it's 1 hour, they see their personal trainer for an hour. In their eyes, like, you know, like they're, and some of them are doing 5-7 days a week. So they think they're this highly active, fit person because, you know, none of their friends work out 7 days a week and no one trains as hard as they're training. And in their eyes, they think that this is someone who's really active. But in reality, what people don't realize is you can still be considered, and more people than not are still considered sedentary, even when you're putting an hour's work of working out right. intensely a
right.
day.
Right.
That's, I mean, sedentary. That means yeah. you are still a sedentary. Yeah,
the amount
person.
Of movement does not give you enough to, yeah. you know, equate to weight loss.
Well, here's a question that you can ask people, just kind of, you know, get into their heads. You can ask them, look, who is more active? The construction worker who's doing construction 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, but doesn't work out, or the guy that sits at his desk in front of a computer for work, but he works out for an hour every day?
Yeah.
Who's more active?
Oh, yeah. It's a construction worker.
Blows that away, yeah. for sure.
Blows it away. And so the one guy works out and goes to the gym. The other guy doesn't go to the gym at all, mm-hmm. but they're more active.
Yeah. And when it comes to a fat burning and calories and stuff like that, that's more important, man. It really is. I mean, there's all these added benefits to lifting weights when you talk about building muscle and strength and things like that. But if you just, from a straight caloric and nutritional value ratio to movement to losing, the guy that's the construction worker wins every time with that.
I had a huge paradigm shift not too long ago when I took photos for the original MAPS anabolic program. And I got really, really, really lean. I got the leanest I'd ever been. I don't know. I probably got down to, I don't know, 4% or 5%. You saw the pictures. You know? Yeah. And it was a paradigm shift because I realized how little I actually needed to eat. I yep. couldn't believe how little I needed to eat and how much I was eating before, thinking that I need to eat this much or I'll lose muscle or all these different things are going to happen. And I realized, look, people just eat too much, period.
Yeah,
and
especially like being a guy and, you know, worrying about that, like how little protein you need.
Yeah, you just don't need...
You just don't need it.
You just don't need to eat that much, especially if you're the average American who, mm-hmm. you know, let's face it, most of us are... Look, us in this room who are fitness fanatics, we're relatively sedentary, even if you add up all our workouts.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No,
I know.
No,
you,
for
you
sure.
know? So, and that's the average person. It was mind-blowing for me at the moment. I remember... doing that, and someone had asked me, one of my buddies, and he's like, holy shit, man. He's like, how'd you get so shredded? And I remember saying to him, I was like, I just don't eat that much. And it's like, for the first time in my life, it just really made sense. Like, I don't need as much as I really thought I did. I just don't need that much food.
Well, you know, I think one of the most common things I get asked on my Instagram, especially when I'm getting ready for a show, and the most surprises, the most, like, people will message me and be like, you know, you always post, you don't do cardio. How do you get that lean and you don't do any cardio? And then, or someone will see me and they'll see me like walking on a treadmill and they'll be like, hey, I thought you said you don't do any cardio. And I'm like, well, yeah, I don't do cardio. This is me walking on a treadmill, just moving, you know? Mm-hmm. And so what they don't get is what I start to do is then it's happening right now. So I'm getting, you know, I'm 6 weeks out from a show, or a little less now, about 5.5 out from a show. And I just know my daily routine. Like you said, we are, I most certainly, I can't just speak for you guys, but I know for sure I am still sedentary, very sedentary. Majority of what I do is, you know, sitting at a desk or in a chair or driving. You know, I'm not mm-hmm. super active all day long. So all I really do, honestly, is I just ramp up my activity as I get closer. And I do it very simply. So I'll set myself small goals. Like, okay, I'm going to add 30 minutes of moving that I wouldn't outside of my normal activity. I do everything the normal, just like I do every single day. But now I'm going to spend 30 more minutes, whether I do that by walking the dogs 2 extra times, or I do that by getting on my treadmill and walking while I email and multitasking. And then I just slowly ramp that up. It starts at 30 minutes. Then I start adding an hour of that activity a day. Then I go an hour and a half. And I break it up in little increments too. A lot of people don't realize you can do that. Like, so sometimes I don't have the time to put 90 minutes straight of walking on a treadmill because I'm busy. So I put 20 minutes in. And then I come back 2-3 hours later and put another 20 minutes in. And then I go handle some work and business stuff, and then I put 15 minutes in. And then I actually have a little bit extra time, so I put 30 minutes in. And I just, by the end of the day, I've accumulated 90 minutes of this activity that I normally would not have put in, and that shit all adds up. It's crazy. And
you know, it's funny, even studies will even show that splitting up activity is actually more effective for fat burning than doing it all at once. Also,
yep. Yeah.
So 90 minutes straight is less effective than doing 3 30-minute sessions.
Absolutely.
And I, you know, I'll tell people, walk your dog in the morning and at night. Just take a walk in the morning.
That's
at night,
what I started doing. Actually, minutes. It was funny because my dog started to get pretty lean, you know, through my whole process.
Pets look like their owners.
I seriously was trying to find a picture. I was going to do like a before and after of him because he's definitely changed with me, because I've been taking him on runs. I've been taking him on walks, hikes, you know, all that kind of stuff, just for that added extra activity. And on top of that, like, you know, started doing more housework. I'm doing stuff outside. I'm chopping wood. You know, I'm cleaning a lot. So it's beneficial. You know, my wife, you know, got the benefit of that, because it's really like, I didn't want to sit down on the couch and turn into that plopping, you know, position where I'm watching TV or something with my boys. And as a result too, I got my son back out, you know, outside hanging out, exploring with me and stuff. You know, it's just, you just got to get out and be active.
You know, this is one of the factors in the trigger sessions that I think is so effective, aside from the stimulating muscle growth and all, is that you're moving for 8 to 10 minutes 3 times a day.
Yeah,
because the
prioritizes it.
Yeah, right? you're doing trigger sessions, which end up being like an extra 25 minutes or so of activity during the day, and it's split up usually 2 or 3 sessions, and one of the number one effects people will say is they just get leaner from doing that. And it's not a ton of calories, but it does make a difference, especially if you do it on a daily basis.
Sure. I mean, 25 extra minutes, especially of like band work, trigger session type work. I mean, you could talk about 200 something calories you're burning,
sure,
which is half of somebody's standard meal, especially if you're eating clean and balanced, you know. So that's a difference for sure. Not to mention all the extra benefits of the stimulation of the muscle and stuff.
I've also noticed, because I've had people say to me like, oh, it's so much harder to find time to be active 2 or 3 times a day, and they think in their mind it's easier to block off 90 minutes or 60 minutes to do all their cardio. But in reality, it's easier the other way around.
Oh, absolutely.
All of us can find 10 minutes here or there.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you just find 10 minutes twice a day or 3 times a day, there's 30 minutes. And it can be at any time, like in between a client for me, or if you work at a computer, you can be like, oh, looks like I have 15 minutes. I'm going to go walk around the block 3 times. And these little blocks of time are actually easier to stick to, because they don't feel like the commitment is as big. You don't have to take out so much time. You don't have to feel like you're working out for so long. And that aspect of it makes it much more effective as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. It's far easier to do it that way. Like I said, when I say I'm going to start doing 90 minutes of cardio, plus I'm weight training. So I'm weight training every day for an hour. And then if all of a sudden I say I'm going to do 90 minutes of, you know, walking, whether it be treadmill or outside, to run it right after my workout, 2.5 hours in the gym. That's a long time to be in the gym. I don't got that kind of time. But I most certainly can do an hour in the gym, and then maybe 10 minutes after I do my workout, I walk a little bit right after. I normally do 10 or 15. That's what I do. And then another 10 to 15 later on in the afternoon, then another 10 to 15. I just break it up in little breaks like that. Walk the dogs, add all these things that I... And it's got to be what you have to do. So if someone's listening right now and they're going like, well, I walk my dogs and I do this. If you're trying to reduce body fat, change your body composition, it needs to be outside of what you already do. Your body has already been adapted and has already got used to like whatever this your normal activity level is. So you got to kind of think outside the box. If you pretty much walk your dog once or twice every single day, well, then you need to walk them 3 times. And if you already walk on the treadmill for 30 minutes and you do a workout for an hour, well, then you need to do 45 minutes to an hour spread out, if you like, you know, throughout the day. But it needs to be outside the norm, and you got to be conscious of that and pay attention. And, you know, just a lot of that just comes with you focusing on and paying attention to your daily activities for the most part. Okay. And of course, there's always exceptions to the rule. We, you know, if you're someone who travels for business and you fly out, blah, 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 you know, that stuff happens. But for the most part, most humans are pretty consistent with what they do from a day to day basis. You can figure out what days.
Oh, we all have routines.
Yes.
We all have routines.
Very, very much so.
And I'm, you know, I'm glad we're bringing some of the stuff up, because we get questions from a lot of personal trainers, how to be successful as a trainer, how to be successful with my clients. And I'm going to tell you right now, besides being a likable person, besides the fact that your client has to want to meet with you, you know, X amount of times a week, you are going to have to educate your client, and you're going to have to take them through the, you know, what we've learned as the four stages of learning. We actually touched on the first one, which is unconscious incompetence. Most clients are going to come to you, most people are going to come to you as a trainer with a level of incompetence that they're unconscious about. They don't know that they don't know. Mm-hmm. And I get this a lot when I first work with a client and I show them posture. And
I was going to say, movement is a big one for me.
Yeah, I'll strengthen their posture. And the next thing I know, they'll come in and be like, I'm more aware of my posture. I'm pulling my shoulders. And what just happened to them was they just moved into the second stage of learning, which is now they're consciously incompetent. They now know that they don't know. And that's the easy step. That's the first step that you're going to take your clients to. The third step is where a lot of people get stuck, and that's conscious competence. So to give you an example, we'll use posture again. Conscious competence would be the person knows that their posture is bad. Now they're consciously correcting their posture all day long. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to stop there. You want to get it to the last stage. This is what athletes will call the zone. This is unconscious competence. Mm-hmm. So now you're not even conscious of the fact that your body's moving the way you want, or you're not even conscious of the fact that you're eating right, that you're making decisions, that you're creating those habits. And those are the stages you have to take your clients through. And if you can get them to the fourth stage, you have now provided with them long-term success. And you can even apply those stages to yourself. If you're trying to get better at something or you're trying to do something, you need to move through those stages and identify where you're at and try to move to the next one. And when you can become unconsciously competent, you have now developed second nature. It is part of your being. It is who you are. It is not something you have to even think about anymore. It's just what you're doing. And if you can do that, you got success.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just constantly, you know, repeating that process, and it takes reps. So, you know, you're not going to really achieve that, you know, last stage unless you really are consciously putting that effort in day after day after day. Then all of a sudden, yes,
it takes practice, and I'll get there. I'll tell you right now, for the listeners listening, how many of you listeners think about breathing? Nobody. That is a form of unconscious competence. You breathe naturally. How many of you think about walking when you're walking? You know, you don't. You just take a step. Well, you are unconsciously competent of that movement. And so this is if you can hit that stage of understanding, then you have true success. And that's your goal as a trainer for your clients, and even apply that to yourself. Be aware of where you're at in those stages. And then you know where you need to go. And I'm always aiming to get to that fourth stage for whatever I want to do. Mm-hmm. And it just takes lots of practice. What was the number someone had established a while ago? It was like 10,000 hours. And that's, I think, why you said 10,000. Yes. Right, Adam?
Yeah.
So just practice.
You know,
keep hammering
that's
it.
That's why a lot of apprenticeships, they have similar types of programs set out for like X amount of hours. Because you really do. You don't achieve that until you put that sort of work in time frame.
Well, I think I don't know if we touched on this before when we talked about the evolution of our training. I know we got a little more into our personal, how we train ourselves, but you know, I can say the evolution of my training as clients. And if you're a trainer and you're listening to this, or you're a new trainer or a trainer or aspired to be a trainer right now, one of the things that so many trainers at the beginning focus on is giving these clients the hardest workout they've ever had, you know, and that's their mentality becomes like, you know, I can make this client more sore than the last trainer trained him. And that's how a lot of trainers think they gauge their, how successful of a trainer they are. Who's a better trainer? You know, like, when Susie saw Sal, she came to me and said that Sal didn't really get her sore. So I'm going to break her off and show her what time it is. Right. So, you know, and, I think every trainer, when they first start off, can get kind of caught up in that a little bit and start focusing on like the most creative, the most crazy workouts they give. When I really got better as a trainer was when, or the shift that I had was I actually started to put a lot less focus on the hour that I was with them, because I could take care of that. I'm going to be with them. I'm going to be watching them. I'm always going to give them a pretty good workout. I became more focused on giving them tools to be successful the other 23 hours. And that became a huge difference in the results that my people started to see. Getting your clients to, just like you said, create those small habits of, you know, and learning about what they do. You know, tell me what you, I want to know what she does or he does every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, what their activities look like. And then when I start to hear like, okay, they work at this time, they wake up this and that, then I can start giving them small goals. And I'll say, hey, this week what I want you to do. And you keep it simple like that. You say, okay, this week what I want you to do, I know on Tuesday, you're normally up by 8 o'clock and then you start your day and do this. I want you to wake up at 7:30. And when you wake up at 7:30, all I want you to do is go take a walk around the block. Nothing strenuous whatsoever. You can be half asleep doing it. I don't care. Just get up, walk for the 30 minutes before, then start your day. You know, that's Tuesday's thing. Saturday, you know, that's Saturday's the day they sleep in until 10 or 11. It's also the day they lounge around and watch sports or whatever it is. And then, so, hey, this is what I want you to do on this day. That day, I want you to accomplish 2 miles. Throughout your day, you can spread it up over quarter mile breaks, whatever it is, whatever, I don't care. Just all I want to know is that you accomplish that. And I would follow up in small goals like that. And then all of a sudden clients start seeing all these crazy results. And then you create those, then they start to get it, that like Sal says, and then they become conscious of what they were doing before. And then it becomes a point where they become a habit. And then they just start to do that. Like they just know that, hey, on Saturdays, I need to make sure I get my walk in. I need to make sure I do this. On these days, I need to get up a little bit earlier. And all that stuff starts to add up and make a huge difference in their body and what's going on. So that for me was huge. I don't know if you guys evolved the same way or came out that way or not.
100%. I remember I used to get really irritated when I first became a trainer. I'd get really irritated when a client wasn't doing everything that I told them in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, oh, here's your diet, here's your workout, this is what you're going to do here. And they wouldn't do everything. And I'd be like, ah, you know, you got to do it all now. And then I realized, like you said, it's a process. One step at a time, and it takes a long time. When I tell clients, it's like, look, you've never worked out. You know, you want to lose 20 pounds. This is something new to you. It's going to take you a couple years before you become good at this. It's like you can't learn. Nobody enjoys playing the piano when they first start playing it. It fucking sucks until you're good at it. You know, right. So it's going to take a long time to get good at this. So let's give you a, and you set the stage that way.
That's it. Just be entertaining, and I mean that helps a lot because it is. It's a big long process, and you don't want to throw that right at them, especially as you're doing your prezo, like how long it's actually going to take. But we talked a while ago about like clients and like how I've had clients for years and years, and it's just because of that. It's such a long process that, you know, you accomplish great things, you know, going through the process, but it's not, if you get outside of the instant mentality where we're just trying to ramp up intensity and we're trying to get these things to happen, that just has never lasted in my career.
You know, I actually, for myself, and I haven't even said this to any clients yet, but it's almost like I want to change the word. I want to change what I'm called from being a trainer to being like a coach, a fitness coach.
Like a life coach.
Because it makes more sense. You know, a trainer trains you for an hour and you leave.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get anybody's success if you do that. You have to be more of a coach.
Right.
Because they're with you for, you know, 2 or 3 hours a week. You know, they're not with you for way more than that. And you got to be able to coach them through that. Through the time they're not with you. Otherwise, they're not going to be successful.
They're less dependent on you, right? Because when you're just a trainer and you're trying to accomplish something in a short amount of time, you know, they're so dependent on you to get them there. As opposed to like just daily having these processes that they're going through and like really scaling one thing at a time, it just empowers them to then, you know, go further. And then they know like what's ahead of them. And then they can just make progress on the next, you know, one thing, which I'm always trying to distill it down. That's been my sort of evolution as a trainer, is to really distill the process to the real important core things, especially with nutrition. That's why I wrote the guide, to specifically start with just learning, you know, how to eat better and make better decisions. And then you go from there, and, you know, and that could take however long. You know, there's really no time length to that.
Oh, dude, I've had clients that've been with me for 3 years,
yeah,
and barely lost any weight, and then something clicks, and then boom, 15 pounds.
We have to wait for that.
Yeah,
so I think that's the biggest key. Is like, as a trainer, as a coach, you really can't. I mean, you can press hard and you can push them to like where they're not going to go, but it's not going to have the life-changing effect as when you. You really get inside this person's head, and then you see all of a sudden this click happens.
And that's how it happens.
And then it's like, boom, it's like wildfire. And then that's what you just created with this person.
Yep.
And it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Coaching.
Yep.
Do it.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.